As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
.755 is real with David O'Brien and Erica Flaherty is on the air now. Welcome back to 755 is Real. I'm David O'Brien, Braves writer at The Athletic. I'm with my co-host, Eric O'Flaherty, former Braves reliever. What's happening, Eric?
What a game.
Dude, that was one of the most epic damn endings I can remember in a baseball game, period. I mean, you've had some walk-off home runs, but that was in its own way even more exciting, spectacular.
I don't get emotional watching games. I barely make any noise or say anything. And my wife heard me scream. It was so shocking. You know, like it takes a play like that to just, I mean, you jump. No, if you're watching that, and I don't even care who you're rooting for, you're reacting.
Yeah. I had people from past places where I've lived and that I went to college with, people that have no connection whatsoever to the Braves, but they know I cover them. And they were watching the game because it was the only game on. And they're sending me texts and emails going, oh, my God. I'm going, you're watching a Braves game? But then everybody got caught up in it, you know, and just the human drama. And to see them down 4-0 and look dead in the water.
They were dead.
They were just being dominated. But Zach Wheeler was pitching one of the best games I've seen pitched in a postseason.
He was DeGrom. I mean, I think he's the closest pitcher I've seen to DeGrom with that extension arm slot, high fastball, unreal breaking ball, and making pitches. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Darno was the only guy that looked like he was taking good swings off him, and that's because he caught him.
Yeah.
That's what I think. You can never get your former catchers out. You never feel good against them. But nobody else, even until Ozzie hit that ball down the line, which he just jumped on a first pitch fastball that he didn't quite get high enough, nobody else really even took a single good swing off him.
You look at that pitch that he made to Darno, and it was one of the very few bad pitches he made. That was just a slider right down the middle.
It was still first pitch, though. You think you're getting a strike there.
But Darno is somebody that knows.
Exactly.
He's got a better idea than anybody else what he might throw here.
Yeah.
And he crushed it. I mean, to that point, you're right. It was like DeGrom, if DeGrom were ever healthy anymore. But I couldn't believe how many guys were swinging at fastballs at their neck. But
It's that low arm slot.
He's like Strider with another 5 inches, but real similar.
It was 7.3 feet of extension. I don't know what Strider's is, but they were talking about it on the broadcast. And when you see those really – when you see guys continually – I think the thing, too, is that they knew he was challenging with the fastball. And that makes you want to hit the fastball. You know, that it's like that engages the hitter so much when you just come after him and attack him with fastballs. Now they're cheating to it and you're more likely to keep chasing up. And he played each guy like that, just got him chasing at the top of the zone over and over.
So many guys at the top of the zone are 4 inches above the zone. There was guys swinging at pitches 4-6 inches above the zone. Yeah, but I meant like Strider, though, with the ride, because they both have such a low release point relative to their body size. And the extension. They're both getting out there so far. Strider gets out near 7 feet too, and he's 5'11". Yeah. He gets out there close to that. So, everybody, we're so used to these downward playing on these 6 foot five guys that throw 100, and he's not there because he's got that extension like Strider does, and they get that ride, and it looks like it's going up, but it's not. But it's not going down.
It's not coming down enough.
And it looks like it's got that giddy up, that ride at the end, and those guys were swinging at pitches in their at their neck, and then, and yeah, and then they were swinging at stuff a foot below the zone because his breaking ball was like, I mean, he just had it. He was filthy. He was filthy. And he throws, like we talked about last time, he's got the easiest gas, man. It's easy cheese. It's like 97 to 99. Looks like he's playing catch.
Yeah, and that's what, like, I saw a lot of Braves fans saying this team looks unmotivated or dead or they look flat. It's like,
yeah,
look at what they're going against. I mean, game one, you give them a pass, but then game two, you're facing Zach Wheeler. And honestly, that personally, why I think, I know there's a bunch of other cool shit that happened, but Darnold hitting that home run was the play of the game because he got Wheeler out of that game and just kind of broke the seal and gave him life. Without that, they hadn't showed anything. And he probably finishes that inning. Alvarado goes the next one, and you're still down three. And it's probably a wrap. But him hitting that home run was so huge for what it did to change that whole game and get Wheeler out of there, give him a chance.
I thought there were four moments that you could look at and go, that was the play of the game, or that was the, you know, in its own way, was epic, huge. Was Acuna getting on base, stealing, stealing second and going to third on that, on the error on the play by Trey Turner.
Yep.
And then alertly, never looking down. And when Trey Turner made that error, he just kept going.
So well, he scored from first on Ozzie's ball. He went first to third.
Right.
And then Turner bobbled that ball. He doesn't even hesitate and goes.
Right. He's going first to third, but he never, but he slowed down briefly, but he never took his eye off the ball and took up. That was huge because it got the crowd into it. It got the team into it. Because then they were shut out. And it's like, oh, my God, they're going to be lucky if they get a run.
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, that woke everybody up. The crowd had nothing to get excited about till that point. Right. Nothing. So they get excited. They're into it. That's point one. Then what you said, Darno's home run. That's huge because that gets you within a run. Then you're like, okay, now it feels like a Braves game. They've done this all year, right? They've done this all because you're thinking, okay, Wheeler can't go the rest of the game. You know, anybody they bring in is going to be easier than him, just about. You know,
if he pops up there though, Wheeler's finishing that inning,
right? Right. So he gets that home run, and they're within a run, and you're thinking, okay, he's not going to go the whole way. The Braves just need one more; they can get it. And then point three, obviously, is Austin Riley. Yeah. I mean, that was. Of Hoffman, you could argue, you know, Phillies fans could argue maybe that Hoffman, they shouldn't have been in there, one of their other guys. But Hoffman's pitched great, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been one of the, he's become one of their high leverage guys, and he's pitched really well. Austin Riley just had, showed how fucking strong he is, man.
Yeah.
Because his top hand came off the bat, was kind of, it wasn't a great looking swing. And most guys hit that ball. There's no way they hit it more than 280, 300 feet. You know, most guys.
Yeah. Well, that's what messed me up, too, is because I saw that swing. I saw him out front, and it looked like he barreled it. But I'm thinking, can that go? And then I thought it was going to be one of those ones where the camera follows the ball into the stands. And then you see the outfielder at the track. Just because Anderson didn't get that excited calling it. He didn't call it like a no doubt. I mean, it was out by 20, 30 feet, but – even with that swing, I'm like, shit, I don't know if he got that enough. I know he barreled it, and then it went out by plenty.
Yeah. I mean, he's so strong. I mean, his hand came off the bat, and it just – it didn't even matter. I mean, the arc of that was – that launch angle was huge.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, keeping his balance and catching it out front like that with one hand.
Yeah.
Staying through the ball, incredible.
And the place, all of a sudden, it was as loud as it's ever been. It just erupted. It was so loud, man. It was like, oh, my God. Everything has changed in less than 30 minutes. Everything has changed.
Yeah.
This entire series has upside down. You thought, okay, the Braves are going to lose tonight. They got no chance of going to Philly and winning two games. No chance. They're going to go to Philly, and the season's going to be over. And it's going to be two exits in a row, two Philly, losing in Philly, and it's going to be a disaster to write about all winter. And next spring, people are going to be going, it doesn't matter. They're just going to, you know, how many negative people would have been saying all through the season next year. If they had off to a great start again, people would be going, doesn't matter. They're just going to lose in a postseason. I'm just thinking, this is what we're going to deal with for the next 10 months. Because if they lose, nobody's going to care. They're not going to look at it rationally. They're going to look at it as back to being a Braves. 2021 was the anomaly. Now they're the real Braves again. I was thinking all this shit's going to happen if they lose this. Riley hits that home run, and it's like, oh my God, the place has erupted. And then obviously point number four. I mean, that was one of the greatest defensive plays I've seen. I've seen better catches, but the totality of it, the moment, the catch, which was a really great catch.
Great catch.
But then the wherewithal to immediately come down, land on both feet, and the fact that he's left-handed, he does not make that play if he's right-handed.
Yeah, he's got to turn.
He's got to turn. And he doesn't go over like this. He's going to catch like that. He's going to go against the wall with his glove hand. Who knows if he even holds on to it.
Yep.
He catches it like this. He with his left arm, he holds it out and braces himself a little bit. Softens the blow. Lands like this and doesn't have to really step so much. He takes like one step basically and fires because he used to be a pitcher in high school too. That was a pretty strong throw, even though it bounced. That was a strong throw. I didn't see the miles per hour on it, but it was strong.
Well, the key of that play is, and this is, I saw him get criticized, like it wasn't a great throw, but the key was just getting rid of it quick because you're assuming Harper might tag there.
Right.
You're assuming he's going to second, so he's trying to keep him at first. That's why he threw it to second.
Right.
He just turned around and got rid of it as quick as he could. Let's keep this guy at first base. But Harper was somehow rounding second.
Oh, my God. You know,
so that's when, like, the chaos of the play unfolded.
Right. I saw that criticism, and I only saw it on one place, MLB Network, afterwards, right?
Yeah.
They were talking about how it went from being a terrible throw to being a great – no, it wasn't a terrible throw. He didn't have time.
It was the
right
throw. It's what you assume is happening there.
He did not have any time to examine what was happening on the field. He's thinking, if Harper's tagging up, I've got to get it to second, or I got no chance of catching it.
So you just get it in as fast as possible because you never assume this. Nobody does that, you know. And even it's funny because Harper gets criticized for it, but two or three games ago, he runs through a stop sign and everybody loves him for it. You know, he's just got that instinct. You know, you're not going to tell him to stop. Well, he made that same gamble. But you can't do it. I mean, you have to be either standing on second there.
And that's all he had to do.
That's all he had to do because if it drops, you're probably scoring.
He got so ultra aggressive. I mean, it's aggressive enough to be all the way to second and stand there, you know, because even then you're thinking, okay, you got to haul ass to get back to first.
Yeah.
If that guy makes a good throw back to first. I mean, you got to go 90 feet. That guy's just got to throw the ball from out there to first.
Yeah.
So that's ballsy even to get to second and stay there. You know, like his manager, like Rob Thompson said, you want to stop before you get to second, you know?
Yep, for sure.
And he goes, balls out around second, and he's like 15, 20 feet past second. I mean, he never even slowed down at second. And then he's like, oh, shit, and looks back. It's like, I'm surprised he even made a play of it. You know, if he wasn't fast as hell, Harper showed his wheels to get back because he slipped first. He slipped down before he even took off. And then he got around second and goes back to first, and it was a bang-bang play still.
The most surprising thing about that play is Michael Harris is out there, and you've seen him play. He's catching that ball, or at least getting to it.
Right,
you
that's
know?
Why.
So you can't really think
why that. Why would Harper think he's not going to catch that ball? He's seen Harris make great catches. They played them. He's played them like 28. 29 games in the last 2 years, or 30 games in the postseason. He's played him over 30 games since.
His routes are so good, and he's so fast. So his closing speed on those balls, it's like if you were looking, I'm sure running to second, your head's bouncing. It looks like there's no way he's getting there, but you got to stop and think that's Michael Harris out there. He's probably making a play.
And the only way he doesn't make a play is if it's over the fence, in which case you don't need to be hauling ass anyway. You know what I mean? So I saw it was rated like 40% chance to make the play. I mean, I don't know if 40% is that because an average fielder doesn't have a 40% chance to make it a play. He had to jump high.
Well, there's been so many plays like that off the wall or close to the wall, even just this postseason that guys have had it deflect off their glove, almost get there. People don't understand how hard it is to have a wall closing in on you. And you're not just jogging. You know, you're running full speed. You got to jump. it doesn't look as difficult as it is.
Yeah,
because he's not a great athlete,
and he's not charged with an error. Obviously, if he didn't get it, but most guys, if they can't, if they don't have speed and leaping ability, they don't get to that ball because it's off the top. It's near the top of the wall. He had to show some vertical to get up there, perfectly timed. And he took a corner. He took a glance at the ball and looked at where the wall was, rather than just running smack into the wall. So he puts his arm out when he goes up in the air. The whole thing was just so much athleticism that you do not see from an average fielder.
So pro.
And he didn't fall. He didn't like land on his ass and go down or stumble, because he wouldn't have been able to do it if he did. He lands on both feet, then takes one step basically and fires the left-handed throw. Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So then you got the other component in this. You got Ozzy, which this is a really difficult ball to catch on that hop. It's you know, it kind of skips past. He's like trying to field it with a sweep, I think, and you know, because he knows he's got to make a quick throw. So it gets past Ozzy. And Austin Riley, I think, is so modest that he last night claims that he wasn't intending to do that. That he was just yelling, one, because he's yelling to Michael
Jogging
Harris.
Jogging toward the
plate. Right. He says, he's yelling, and he said, my momentum's taking him towards Harris because he's yelling at Harris. But, I mean, you got to be pretty alert to be headed in that direction. In your head, it's just, as I asked Snit today, as Snit said, it's one of those instinctual things. You're going towards the ball.
Yep. You know, just in case.
Yeah, no one. I can't just stand at third and watch this happen, you know. I need to, or go to third and worry about him coming over here, maybe a play, any of that shit. He's like, we've got to get him at first. I'm going to go, he's going to. So he's trying to get him to the first, and the ball gets past Ozzy. And Riley, like, with one swooping motion, anybody that's questioned this guy's defensive ability, man, I mean, he is a smooth athlete for a big old hoss. I mean, he's a country strong big dude, but he's smooth. That was a smooth play.
The transfer and then to have the arm strength to put that much on it from that angle. I mean, it's not shocking, because that's a play you make on choppers and slow rollers a lot as a third baseman, that getting rid of it. But it's a new angle. You know, that's a different angle than he's used to. And then the Aussie thing, Cam asked me about this before it started, but it had to be a very quick transfer to have a chance to get – to get Harper at first. So Ozzy can't just chest up and knock that ball down. He's got to stab at it and get it clean. If he doesn't get it clean, he's not getting Harper.
Right.
If he would have knocked that ball down, they don't get him, because you got to chest it up, see where it is, and throw it. But the way Riley's coming, he gets a lot longer hop. He could pick it clean and transfer and get rid of it like that. I mean, I couldn't believe when Harris caught that ball, I jumped out of my seat. I was like, oh, because you know how huge it is.
Yeah.
But then you're watching the play unfold and you start hearing Anderson yelling, and it's like, what is Harper? Why is Harper not, like, why is this a play right now? You know, because
it was such a bad mistake. I mean, I don't care about Harper's being aggressive. That was a bad play.
Yeah.
That cost them dearly. But You're right, though, the way Ozzy tried to kind of swoop it up.
He's got to pick it clean.
He's got to do the same thing Austin did. And he
doesn't
have
a backhand.
And he doesn't have nearly as strong an arm as Austin either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the play worked out great for the Braves that it got past him and that it didn't hit his glove and like carry him one way or direction or other or die.
Yeah.
Because think about think about if he doesn't, if they don't do that, and he's still at first, and they still got a chance, man. But if he doesn't make that catch, if he doesn't make that catch, he is scoring on that play because he has gone so far. He's scoring
halfway to third
easily.
Yep.
So it's tied, and they're going to have a runner at second probably.
And you got Stoddup, who's a tough AB and willing to slap a single. That guy, that's the one guy I don't ever feel good about when he's up at the plate in a big situation right now.
And if you go to extra innings, you've already used Jimenez, Minter, and Iglesias.
Yep.
And Iglesias probably isn't coming out for a second inning. He hasn't done it all year.
Yep.
I mean,
and Yates. Johnson.
And Yates and Pierce Johnson. Yeah. And look at the bullpen they've still got because Wheeler's gone so deep.
They got Sir Anthony Dominguez, who blew away
Harris saved the season. I mean, those earlier home runs got him in the position to win it, but I think they lose that game if Harris doesn't make that catch.
Yeah. I mean, that game is why I love playoff baseball.
Yeah.
Because that game was ripping your heart out for six innings. Like when Realmuto came up against Fried and that at bat, he hit the home run. I couldn't watch it because I just had a bad feeling. I was like, I got to go walk on the treadmill and watch the rest of this game. By the time I got the shit on MLB on my TV in front of my treadmill, he'd already hit a 2-run homer. It's 3-0. And from that point forward, you're just like, there just was no momentum going the Braves' way. And if they lose that game, you got to go to Philly, right? For two, it's going to be tough to win two there. And then you got Wheeler in game five. There. I mean, it's a wrap. That was
it's a wrap.
Minter kind of hinted at that. He's like, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but
this was a must win.
Yeah.
This was must win situation.
You're watching your season go down the drain. And then he cleaned it up. But I think everybody felt like, fuck, how this thing's over already?
Everybody that knew kind of it season? Was a must win game.
Yeah.
So it said a lot about this team that, I mean, they've done it so many times, but this was your season, not just a game or a series. This was your season. And they still would not just put their heads down and go away quietly. And this team never does. And Acuna, he hasn't had a good series, but man, those were big. The walk and the hit by pitch, he gets on base. And then he doesn't he's still aggressive. He's aggressive Acuna. And he made that happen. He gave the crowd life. And the crowd, Mentor said the crowd won it for us. I think that's exaggerating. But the crowd was huge in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were huge because they were dead. They didn't have anything to get excited about. It's not their fault. Nothing.
Yeah. They're getting unfairly criticized here a little bit because there hasn't even been a moment to have
Wheeler any – shoving it up their ass, man. I mean, they are being dominated because you're looking like it's going to be six straight games where the Phillies – I mean, the Braves hitting like one of those last year, but six playoff games in a row that the Phillies have been basically handled you. And they're going to eliminate you in three or four games again.
But I don't think you could fault the Braves too much because every team except the Astros came out like shit after that 5-day layoff. And then game two, you get Wheeler.
Yeah, Wheeler.
I don't care if you played a doubleheader the day before, you're still not seeing enough pitches to hit Wheeler last night.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. So it was kind of a perfect shit storm. They do have to change that. And look at the Dodgers, man. The Dodgers are done to the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, the Diamondbacks are playing good ball now.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about the Diamondbacks like 2 weeks ago, folding their tents because it looked like they were going to be the team that played the Braves in the division series and they kept slipping down.
Yep.
Worked out better for them, it looks like. And you know what? It may have worked out better for the Braves. Who knows? But this Phillies team is rugged. Everybody's so excited and all this, but then now you got to come get, about face in a hurry. How the Braves know they're facing Aaron Nola in game three. Aaron Nola has pitched really well against the Braves. His ERA this year is not nearly what it was in the past, but he's pitched well against the Braves still.
At home, and that place is going to be at home,
he pitches great here. Their bullpen, again, is going to be they can use everybody in the pen because they got another day of rest. I mean, they can give him the quick hook if they need to, and they go with that stacked bullpen for six innings.
That's what sucks about this, 5 days off, play a game, day off, play a game, day off. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even give you that much of an advantage as far as, you should be a little worn out after that wild card series.
Yeah.
Not have this fresh pen.
They're not at all.
No.
And that extra day really helped in the NLD in this side this year. They didn't have it last year. That extra day. You have I mean, you won the wild card series in two games, so you had 2 days off. You play one game, you have a day off. You play another game, you have a day off.
You haven't played two straight games. A fresh pen.
Yeah.
And then the Braves, you got 5 days off, and you get you kind of shake a little rust. Then you know what? Go sit again.
Right.
And then tomorrow you face Wheeler.
Well, Harris said it took them. You know, they come back from 5 days off. They had the three scrimmage games, but those aren't, you know, like we've talked about, the pitchers aren't pitching in on your hands. The pitchers are not going to hurt. They got to hit Ronald Acuna in the elbow.
No.
It's different. That's why the Braves hit like a million home runs in those scrimmage games, you know?
Everything's away.
So, yeah. You're taking – it's better than batting practice, but it's still not anything close to game intensity, even though they said, you know, we felt great coming in. Those scrimmages were great. Still not the same. And Harris said after the game, it took us, you know, a game to get shake the rust off, and I think tonight we did.
Then you got Wheeler.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe if they had a normal pitcher, maybe it wouldn't have been like that and come down to the wire. But as it turns out, it's the best way they could have won, rather than just win a 4-2 game and everything. Now they're just like, now they feel like they've stole the momentum back because they had given away home field advantage by losing game one. And the Phillies still have home field advantage because they got two games here, one in Atlanta. They still got home field advantage. The Phillies do now.
From here on
but
out, yeah.
The Braves have got momentum, though. Right now, the Braves feel like they – and the Phillies inside, they know they pissed away the momentum.
If they can jump out early on Nola, now the Phillies feel that pressure. And I was thinking about this the other day. Like, you could really see the offense pressing. You know, some of the pitches they were swinging at, it just expanding the zone, trying to do too much, trying to be the guy. That's why I thought Darno's homer was so huge, because it just broke that ice. But they haven't played they haven't had to score. Like, they haven't played a high-pressure – game where they have to score, maybe all season. Like, all season long, they jumped out to early leads, raked.
Yeah, because they've never been in this position.
The
first inning runs. I mean, they scored so many first inning runs.
And they had a comfy lead all year. As far as like I don't think the offense felt this pressure that they felt in these two games the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, they blew some leads. They got behind in a lot of games, but yeah.
But who cares? You got a 10-game lead.
Right. And you weren't facing Wheeler.
Yeah.
It was just a much more less pressured environment to forge those comebacks, to do it.
Now you're facing Wheeler down. You're losing 3-0.
And a great bullpen. Some hard throwing dudes, some nasty dudes lined up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was impressive. We got Corey Carter says this series is like trying to win a race with the Phillies getting a running start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what it ended up being. The off day on Sunday makes no sense. It only does more to take away the Braves' advantage. Well, we explained that, why they did it. It does make no sense. But TV rules the day, and MLB did not want all of its games on the same – all four of its division series games on the same days. And then you would have a day like today, a travel day, where nobody played. They don't want that. They want
to start the series later.
There to be two games on every day.
You've had five days off. What's six? Start the series later so you play two in a row.
So there's not one day where there's not games being played. That's all they care about, man. That's all. TV rules the day.
But you could do that if you started the series later.
Well, they're not going to But they already went through this, and the reason why you could not do the wild card series, why you had to compress it into three games at one site, because you can't go any further into November because of football commitments with all the networks. Again, TV rules the day.
Yeah, it just sucks.
And logistically, if you think about it, we might see this year what the kind of the nightmare that MLB has in the back of their minds, but worried about. Minnesota builds a ballpark without a dome because they can't afford a dome, really, with public funding. Now they got
weather.
A damn good team. They haven't played deep into the postseason yet with that new ballpark without a dome. There is a... You could easily have a snowstorm hit Minnesota in November, just like you could in Colorado. Then what happens? We'll see.
Figure it out.
Right. I mean, they've rolled the dice. They've been lucky so far because Minnesota hasn't gone deep into postseason, and you know they've had good weather for their games. I mean, it could be snowing there now, but with you know climate change and all that, it doesn't get as cold early, you know. But I mean, no, you're talking about playing in November already.
Yeah.
So they're not going to do it. And football, the big thing is football. Those networks are committed to having football games on at a certain point. They're not going to give up football for baseball
for the World Series. a random game in the middle of the season doesn't draw like the World Series.
The only way you can fix some of these problems like this having a bye would be, I was talking about this last night with somebody. You can add two wildcard teams, right? Two more in each league. Then everybody plays. Nobody has a bye.
Yeah.
And the best team gets the worst team.
It's like a practice, like a little trial run.
And it could still be the best teams play at home or whatever if you want to do something like that. And you reduce the season to 154, which it was for decades and decades. But the problem with that is no league has ever reduced a season. They just keep adding games, like the NFL. Add games, even though all the players get hurt and maimed, they keep adding games because there's so much money involved. But in baseball, you could maybe sell it because what you do is tell those owners who don't want to give up the 8 games, go back to 154, you divvy up the playoff money.
Yeah,
you're going to get a percentage of the playoff money to make up for those 8 regular season games. The players would love it. You know that because they love postseason shares.
Well, yeah, you got a better chance of being there too. And
that postseason money is huge.
If you win 100 games and you lose to like a 79 win team in a 3-game series, that sucks, but that's also on you.
Yeah.
Like you got to be able to beat those teams.
Yeah. And there's the playoff money is there's so much money in the postseason games compared to the regular season games. So the players would agree to it. It's just getting the owners to do it. And if you could make it worth the owner's while by saying, you get a percentage, you get a bigger percentage of all these postseason cut of all these extra games. It could work. And you're not really screwing with the stats because any more than you did when you went from 154 to 162, because you're still comparing like some of the records the Braves beat this year were like Eddie Mathews' RBI record. That was in a 154 game season.
Yep.
So now with smaller ballparks and everything, it'd actually be more fair to what baseball was for like 100 years than what it's been the last couple decades. Between steroids, juice balls, smaller parks, you'd be getting back to the essence of the game. And the players now are so much more athletic and built with nutrition and weight training and all that. The pitchers are so much nastier. It would be fair. There would be nothing wrong with what it would do to stats. Guys would adapt to it, and before long, you'd see 154 games. You'd see the same records being threatened at 154 that you're doing. And with all the games guys skip anyway, you'd skip less when there's 154 than 162.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, for me, people are arguing, but I think it's obvious there's not a disadvantage because you're getting a bye. You can't lose if you don't play that first series. But at the same time,
it's a disadvantage, I think.
Baltimore didn't score until halfway through their second game. The Dodgers didn't do shit.
The Braves sucked until the first game, but not last night.
No, but their offense didn't hit. The Braves hadn't gotten shut out at home all season.
They had not been shut out at home since 2021.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how anybody can argue that it's not putting some offenses to sleep.
It is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And the Braves have tried two different things, two different ways. I don't know what else you'd try other than inter-squad scrimmage games because you can't play full-on games. Like, you can't have your pitchers throwing inside and guys getting hurt, you know, in those games. You're not going to throw to your – if you're a pitcher, you're not throwing inside to Ronald Acuna in a scrimmage game.
No.
And hitting him in the elbow and knocking your best player out of the game, out of the postseason.
That's why guys don't want to rehab in rookie ball. Because they face these rookie ball hitters or pitchers that just try to throw the shit out of it. They get all amped up because they see a big leaguer and they'll smoke them in the head on accident.
Yeah.
Guys hate going down to rookie ball for rehab games because everybody tries to do too much. Like if you go into those situations though, and like you said, they all hitting all these homers because everybody's going to pitch them away. How did the Phillies pitch the Braves? They know they had this time off. They're going to be off. Their timing's going to be off. The Braves beat them on sliders. A 3-2 slider to Riley and a first pitch slider to Darno were the two homers. They still didn't really catch up to the fastball in those first two games.
Yep. No doubt. And this matchup with Nola is a better matchup in that regard than the first two. Now, Ranger Suarez doesn't throw hard, but they went to the pen in the fourth inning. And those guys throw hard.
Wheeler still pitching hard. He was pitching in.
And Wheeler goes hard. Nola's a better matchup for the Braves, I think, right now than what they face so far. We haven't.
They're good now. The monkey's off their back.
Yeah. They're going back. They're back to being.
They're fine
now.
Yeah.
Guys, let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up the show.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruit and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Well, Rab6969 says they didn't have to expand the playoffs in the first place. Now the field is so crowded, they have to put extra days off in for TV. Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. Everybody's expanded their playoffs because of money.
Yeah.
Money.
And they're not going to not. They're not taking any games away.
That's not changing. No. That's never happened. They'll only expand. And I would argue, too, that even though I was initially kind of, I didn't know about the wild card. I was like, when they expanded it the second time. But when you're one of those teams that you have no chance of making it, you got a pretty good team, but you have no chance to make it because the guys in your division are really good or in your league, your owner starts selling off guys when you're having a pretty good season. That sucks. And adding the wild card has made so many more markets. Kept people coming out to the ballpark because it's still relevant.
It's great for baseball.
Once you trade your guys at the deadline, July 31st, you send up a white flag. It's hard to get people to come out who don't have season tickets, especially to come
out.
It's
half the league.
That don't mean anything. I mean, if you go back and look at the day when there was only,
four.
Look at the crowds at some of those ballparks, those famous ballparks.
Yeah.
Look at the crowds late in the season. You'd have 8,000 people in this place at the some of the glorious ballparks because the teams weren't going to be in the World Series, you know? And that happens happened in a postseason when they added one wild card. There's still so many teams that were trading people at the deadline because they just had no chance of getting in. And you go play in places where there was just, it's just dead, and that sucks. And
well,
the Braves
–
Braves didn't play in any places this year. A lot of that was their crowd traveled well, too. But even like the Nationals, they made trades, but they were building, and they have some good young players and all that. So you didn't go in any places that were just shitty teams that had traded away good players, and they're going nowhere. You didn't have that this year. So that's kind of nice. You don't go –
I love it. I mean, the Mariners wind up playing – every year now, the Mariners wind up playing – they get packed their house, too. Late September, they're in it. Where when there wasn't those other wild cards, they're like, five games back or four games back of that top wild card. But you're one or two back from the top team, and you got this glimmer of hope. You keep pushing all the way down the line. It's fun. I mean, there's teams that haven't made the playoffs in however long, and they got a shot. It's great for baseball.
I'm telling you, I haven't even read if that idea that I said has even been discussed or anything, but I really think it makes some sense. You add two teams and you reduce to 154, you divvy up the postseason money, and everybody ends up making money anyway because those markets there's going to be four more markets that are in it. And anything could happen in a postseason. We've seen wildcard teams win how many World Series? I mean, anything could happen in a postseason, and that's an easy sell.
Nobody thought the Diamondbacks were going to do what they're doing right now.
That's an easy sell, man.
The only tough sell about it is if you have this team that's kind of trash, but they have two like stud starting pitchers. That team can beat a lot of teams in a three-game set.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So that kind of dilutes like the building a deep roster and having your rotation and everything.
But look at the other leagues. Look how many NFL. The NFL is built on upsets in the playoffs.
Yeah.
How many teams get upset? It happens all the time. The only place that really doesn't happen or seem to happen is the NBA because the teams usually is five guys. The big teams are going to have three studs and just a scrappy team that barely got in. It's not going to beat a team with three great players. But
if you added
four more teams, by the way, you still would have only the same percentage, I think lesser than the NBA gets in postseason teams.
I saw this. I'm trying to find it, but I saw this stat of – to make a series fair, how many games you'd have to play where the better team wins. Because in the NBA, it's like 85% of the time the better team wins.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to find it, but it was like hockey what would you have to play like a 20 game series to get it right? MLB, it'd have to be a 75 game series for the better team to match that NBA success rate, where the better team goes on 85% of the time.
Right.
In MLB, just because so much shit can happen, and baseball's right. It's so tough to score, you have to play a 75 game series for it to be fair.
Because there's no other sport where so much depends on the one guy, the guy that's holding the baseball on the mound.
Yep.
And you can say, yeah, get a quick hook, but a guy can give up a 3-run homer, though, before you give him that quick hook. Which brings us to Game 3 starter for the Braves and Bryce Elder. They have not named a starter, and I don't know if it's going to be Bryce Elder. We had a Zoom call with Snit today. I mean, this could literally be announced while we're on. That's our dumb luck. It'll be announced before we get off the air.
I bet it's later tomorrow.
But Snit said that he was going to, like, they're still discussing it, and he thought they'd have a decision like the next hour. That didn't mean they were going to announce it. They were just about to fly from Atlanta. I had just landed in Philly. I got on the Zoom call with Snit, and then they also did one with Mentor and Sean Murphy. But Snit said, I asked Snit, have you got a starter yet? He said, no, we don't. We're still discussing it. They're taking into account everything. And I asked him, I said, does the environment, kind of the magnitude of the moment and all that, does that play into maybe the decision? Say you were going to start Smith Shaver. Do you consider that? He goes, all that is being considered. And, you know, part of me says Smith Shaver is a really cool customer and he's not going to be affected by it. Other part of me says he hasn't pitched in anything even close to this environment. He made his debut, I think, in Arizona, pitched well, but that was nothing compared to this. He's pitched in a big crowd in Atlanta. Philly right now might be the loudest place. I mean, Truist Park last night had a couple of moments where it matched Philly, but the Philly environment overall might be the loudest, and they are, you're warming up in that bullpen. You can tell people how that crowd is.
Oh, my God. They don't have any – they will, if your mom died, they will talk about how your mom died and do you miss her while you're trying to warm up to go. Like, they don't care. They want you to hate life while you're warming up in that pen. And it's not just while you're warming up. If you go get some water, you know, I mean, there's 25 guys on you. Anytime you come out from under that little covering and stand out there to go stretch, they're going to make fun of your stretch. Like, there's 80 drunk people screaming at you every time you do anything. And the stadium itself, I mean, I haven't been in it for the playoffs, but the stadium itself, their fans, I mean, when it's – you throw a 2-0 or a 0-1 ball in the eighth inning and the whole stadium erupts. Like, they just have this feel for when to get loud and when to kind of pound on you for that momentum. But even regular season games there, I thought that was the most rowdy stadium I pitched in on the road. Maybe I'm biased because I pitched there so much and saw it so much.
And it's much louder now.
It's going to be bonkers. I go back and forth. We kind of went back and forth last night, like Smith Shaver or Elder. The only thing I don't like about Elder is that short porch and left, and he's throwing that sinker running away from lefties. And he was up a lot his last few games. You know, he had a good start against Philly earlier in the season, but his one late was not great.
He had a good start against everybody early in the season. He got so many jams with the ground ball double play. I mean, he wasn't getting those late. He was giving up home runs and walks. The walks. He had more walks than strikeouts in his last three starts. The walks will absolutely kill you against this team. They're patient. I mean, you got a leadoff guy who's hitting under 200, but he'll walk all the time or he'll take you deep.
Yeah.
So I love Smith Shaver's stuff against these guys, but he's 20 years old, 20, and he's made 5 MLB starts. I don't know if he's ready for this. I like him pitching in the game. I don't mind that. I just think you'd be better off bringing him into the game after it's already going and he doesn't have time to think about it. And if you are starting him tomorrow, I wouldn't tell him until tomorrow morning. I would not tell him today.
Let him get some sleep tonight.
Yeah, he ain't sleeping if you tell him. So there's pros and cons to all these. I mean, Elder, you could say, we know Elder has stepped up when we thought, you know, he's got no chance and he stepped up, you know, and he's defied the critics, you know, because he throws 88, 90 miles an hour. But he's a throwback and he's so different than what these guys face regularly. They don't face pitchers like him. And he's fine when he looked worn out at the end of the year. And I don't know that he can get that back with the rest. He has that rest.
And he pitched okay in the, you know, in the scrimmage games. But Smith Shaw really impressed in that. That was way he kind of pitched his way onto the team with his performance in inter squads. He got better as the season went on. He looked so much better after he spent time in AAA, after he was here for a while, went back down and came back up. He looked really good. And then part of me says, go with a regular opener like Minter. That worked for you in 2021.
Get those lefties out in the first.
It worked for you in 2021 postseason when you did it a couple times. You know, but you don't have the three guys you had then. You don't want to use Iglesias early, obviously. Jimenez has been kind of vulnerable. I don't know that you've got the guys that you did then. Tonkin has not been the same guy late in the season. You don't have McHugh like you had last year, you know, when he pitched so well. You don't really have that middle guy, which was where Smith Shaver could really come in, though. You could do something like go with an opener like Minter, have him try to go as far as you can, AJ. If you can go two. If not, go one and whatever. But if AJ could go two innings, Smith Shaver could go four. And then all of a sudden, you're in a normal game with your bullpen without
Minter. Yeah, I mean, I was a cool customer. I didn't get rattled a lot on the mound, but that first wild card game I pitched in, it was like I'd never thrown a ball before in my life. I mean, it was an anticipation and energy that I couldn't control it. You know, I told myself all the stuff I'm supposed to tell myself. You know, it's the same game, just do the same thing. And, I skated through an inning, but I gave up two hits. Yeah. And it could have got real ugly. Beltran did me a favor, swung at the first pitch I threw and got me an out. But I was not tame. You know, I was not in a good place. And that's just what the playoffs does to you. But at the same time, it's like if you're going Elder, who hasn't pitched in an environment like this, I don't think, you know,
no.
Versus Smith Shaver, I might just go stuff or an opener, you know, but I might just go. If you're rattled and missing spots, but you're throwing 97, but, you know, maybe you got a shot. But if Elder's rattled or up with that sinker, just to the lefties especially, lefties, you know, Schwarber can come around it, but Harper being able to flip that ball out to left is kind of what scares me with starting a righty throwing a sinker to him.
And that's why I like Minter, because he's been in this environment so many times now with the World Series. He pitched in and he loves it. I mean, he's like egging the Phillies on. He's talking shit. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what he's got. He's the one that said last night they won a game on heart and nuts. And he was right. But he has repeatedly said, like when they clinched against the Phillies a few weeks ago, he said, we came in here and sent him a message, put a little fear in him. And he doesn't care.
And he
wants to go out there and pitch tomorrow night. He loves the environment in Philly. He loves getting booed. So that's why I kind of like him starting the game and maybe going as far as he can. Because if you have Elder in there, like you said, if he makes a couple of mistakes, you're down 3-0 all of a sudden in a hurry. And I like this Braves offense against anybody, obviously. But you still don't want to get down 3-0 in Philly with that crowd going in, because that's a lineup that can keep adding too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a right answer until it works. But I'm with you. You know, I think it's going to be so important to get out to an early to score first and put up a zero with that if their lineup comes up and they put up a crooked number in the first inning.
Exactly.
That team is going to feed off it.
And I think if Minter starts the game, shuts them down the first inning, the Braves might score a run or two off Nola early. If Minter can get you into the second or even get through two innings, remember what he did in the postseason? He surprised everybody, went two the first time they used him as an opener, I think. Remember he had that great start? Then you bring Smith Shaver in. Phillies have never seen him. If you're able to get a lead and bring this kid in, now he's 20, I said that, but he ain't a normal kid either. This dude was a stud high school quarterback in Texas, which has some big game environment to its own self. It ain't 50,000 people booing, but 20,000 at a Texas high school game, and you're the quarterback. That's some big game element to that too, right? So, and so far, I mean, when he brought him back up, I don't see any fear in this kid's eyes at all. And he was throwing hard again. We saw the velo when he came back up that he had in the minors before his first stint that we didn't see it as early on when he was kind of pitching timid. He was trying to make sure he didn't, you know, he was pinned, trying to aim it, and it wasn't working.
That never plays.
He was playing. He was throwing 98 last time he was up, and so I don't know. I just I
The only problem if you throw Minter early is like the reason that was okay in 21 because they had the rest of that pen.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Yeah. What do you do late if you don't have them?
You had Matzik and Will Smith.
Lefties.
All those lefties.
So you're burning your top lefty in the first inning. And after that, you know, I think
you got Hand.
Hand has the breaking ball.
And he pitched for the Phillies last year. They certainly know him.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's no perfect answer.
In the game.
There's no perfect answer.
Nope.
There's no perfect answer. You would have thought Chavez, if he was on the team and he was pitching well, he was healthy, he would have been a great guy to, as an opener. But you don't have him. Pierce Johnson, I don't know. He pitched last night anyway. I don't know if he'd want. I don't know that he's an opener, if he's ever done it, if you'd want him to do it. I don't know what the answer is, but I like Minter. But the lefty is that's the only problem. Like you
that's
said,
that's the tough spot of it. Is what do you do? You know, I mean, either way, Harper and Schwarber and Stott too, who's tough, are getting big at bats left handed, whether it's in the first inning or the seventh or eighth. And I don't even know what I do.
And don't forget, there's one other guy we haven't discussed who's got some nasty stuff. Daisbell Hernandez.
Yeah, I've barely seen him pitch. So
right, he's nasty. He throws hard and he's got a slider. I mean, he's nasty. He ended a season on the IL, but he's healthy. He looked great in those.
He must have.
He pitched his way on it with the two appearances in the inter squad games, and they haven't seen him. Phillies haven't seen him. So,
Nice thing about when you see a decision like that made is that's not coming from he's dominating AAA hitters. That's coming from MLB hitters that stood in the box against him and said, "Dude, that dude's filthy."
Yeah,
that's the beauty of an inter squad. Is some of those relievers that you haven't seen against big leaguers. You have the best big leaguers you face it, Riley and blow his doors off. Riley's like, put that dude on the roster. But there's nothing that gives a manager or a GM more confidence than hearing it from his own guys. Like, no, this guy's tough to hit.
It's going to be interesting. Like I said, it could be announced at any time, but I'm guessing it might not be announced until tomorrow morning. We'll see.
I like what you said. I wouldn't tell him tonight.
Yeah.
I'd let him get some sleep.
If I'm starting Smith Shaver, I'm not telling him tonight. There's no way. No. There's nothing to be gained by that. It's not going to help him to study these hitters because if he studies these hitters, I think he's going to go, oh, shit.
Fuck, they're good.
They're really good.
Yeah. Yeah, you wind up in that place of all the stuff you shouldn't do instead of just what you want to do.
I'm going to get off this thing and make a reservation in Arizona because I certainly didn't think I was going to have to do for the LCS. I thought I'd just be safe by doing my reservation in LA. But now I got to do Arizona.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if going into spring training or in spring training, we'd have said the Braves and the Diamondbacks and the LCS? You could have won a lot of money on that bet.
That'd be a good bet.
Or the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. But no, I think that the last night, that
changes
outcome.
Everything.
That 3 innings of baseball, or 4 innings, 4 innings changed everything. And you went from, I think, having less than 5% chance of winning the series if you lose that game. 1% chance. I mean, you weren't going to do it. To being, I think, better than 50-50 now for the Braves because of what they've done, their pedigree, their experience factor. They got the best lineup. The Phillies got a good lineup. The Braves got a great lineup, like an all-time great lineup. The only problem, of course, is if you win game three, you somehow win game three, you still got if you lose game three, then you're still going to have to go Strider. You got Strider lined up, which is he pitched infinity. Great in game one.
Yeah.
Against Suarez, who he's not dominant by any stretch, but the Phillies used him great in that first game, and they're going to do that again. They're going to go bullpen again. Yeah. So you need to win this game against Nola, I think, because that crowd is going to be so jacked. If you're facing an elimination game in game four, which is what happened last year here, even though Strider pitched really well in that game, they've beat him twice. He pitched great the other day, but
he pitched great.
But they've beaten him twice. They know they can do it. But he did. He pitched great. He gave up 2 runs. One of them was earned. His error caused the other one. I don't know. I just you really would feel better about him if they win this game three against Nola.
You don't want to play an elimination game in Philly.
Not in
if
Philly,
if you have
no.
to play one, you want it to be at home.
And then you get – if you can get this thing, if you can split and get this thing back for a game five in Atlanta.
Max will pitch better.
I think Max had his bad start. He got out of the way. The biggest thing was the blister did not crop back up. He's going to be more confident. He's going to, you know, he shook off the rust. You got to like him in that game. And they're going to have Wheeler again, and he can't possibly pitch as well as he did in that game last night.
Well, and they'll have seen it. You know, I mean, it's like, I just think that's such a tough. They started taking better swings on his fastball, you know, later in the game. But that's right. It's like one of the, it's like Strider's fastball where you have to see it and see how far. Yeah. That's like what Correa would always talk about is how many inches of jump a pitcher's fastball had. And it kind of helped them know how far above the fastball they feel like they have to swing. But I think another look at him within this short period would be pretty good advantage.
I think back-to-back starts in 5 days would be key. If you look, they hit him a month ago. They were the first team. They had 3 home runs off of him. First team to do that in a couple of years off Wheeler. And 6 runs against him.
The Phillies didn't even get a look at Max yesterday, if you ask me.
Right.
I mean, he had nothing. He was yanking his fastball. He was going to a ton of off speed, but he couldn't land that either. I mean, they didn't have a lot of at-bats where they had to make a decision. They were comfy and ahead in every single at-bat because he fell behind so much. So I don't even know if they got a look at him. You know, they didn't see his good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's I just think that they have a really good shot of winning this thing now. You'd feel even better about their chances if they had Charlie, obviously, or if they had a healthy, strong Chavi, you know, or a couple of the other pitchers were pitching really well right now. But it comes back to they can score 6 to 8 runs off anybody.
Yeah,
and we saw that last night how fast they can change it with one swing.
Isn't it funny you watch that all year though, and you forget they can do it when it looks like that. Yeah.
You know, Hoffman wasn't giving up shit lately, and he destroyed that. Wheeler, it looked like he was going to for a while there. He hadn't given up a hit or a walk through what 5 innings. Only thing it was a reach a Trey Turner error.
Yeah,
but one swing, the Braves can equalize games. They can hit. They can do it against anybody. There's not a pitcher they can't do it against. So, I mean,
we said that all year, and then I was like, shit. I don't know if they can do it against this guy.
And now they shook the rust off, and I think you're going to see a lot more representative sample. I think it wouldn't surprise me if they come out and have one of their first standings against Nola that they had all year. Because so far, they haven't done that at all. They've gone down quietly in the first.
Starts with Acuna. He hasn't had the series he wants to have yet. But
no, and he's due to break out, man. Acuna's due to break out with a couple of hits, maybe a home run. He really is. So it's going to be interesting. Got us a series. Man, what a game. Wow, what a game. That was just tremendous. That was as good as it gets.
That's the reason you get excited for the playoffs.
And if you're the damn Phillies, man, you're going, that's as bad as it gets. That was as – you tore their heart out. Because they got an all-time start from Wheeler, and you still beat them.
Those are the ones that – I mean, those are the ones you look back on. If you're the Braves, you look back on, and you'd be like, this win might be why we win a World Series. But if you're the Phillies, you have to look back on this win and be like, those are the ones that cost you, the ones you let slip away like that. Those hurt the most, the late losses. It would have been way worse it would have been way better for Philly if the Braves just came out and scored 10 in the first 2 innings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were bombed on that plane ride. And Harper, he's feeling like shit. I mean, he should, because that was a horrible mistake. Mentor, somebody, Brad Daniel pointed out, was talking. Somebody said Mentor's been shaky lately, but Mentor did get it done in the 8th. He sure did. He came in 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And then they brought him out in the 4th because they did not want to have Iglesias place Harper.
I thought that was smart.
Oh, that was very smart.
He's like 7-for-10 with 4 homers off Iglesias.
At a certain point, you go, okay, let's not be macho and let our guy go out and prove himself. Let's just not let's take that out of his hands.
Yep.
And I know Iglesias had to be going, yeah, that's a good call.
One more thing. I can't believe Castellanos hit the ball that far with that swing he took.
He's strong, too.
Yeah.
As a I was strong shocked dude. It went
that far.
He's a strong dude.
Out front, off the plate.
Yeah, it really was. And he hit it 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
They're the one team that has the exit velos like the Braves do. Usually you look at a Braves game – and like on Savant, you look at the exit velos, and the Braves usually have like 8 of the top 10. Yeah, like 8 of the top 10 9 of the top 10. The Phillies, it was the opposite last night for most of the game until those home runs. Yep. But it's been like that for two games. I mean, the Phillies have hit a lot of balls, 100 to 110.
They hit a lot of balls hard off Max early.
And how about the one off Strider? Hardest hit home run ever off, hardest hit ball off, 115.
Another first pitch slider. I mean, it's so crazy now. You used to get all these first pitch sliders, free strikes, and Harper hits it 115. That's how much the game's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking nuts. The guy throws 98 invisible. Darno takes Wheeler deep. Wheeler's got the most ridiculous fastball the Braves have faced this season. Wheeler throws a first pitch slider. Darno, he rakes it out.
Well, the good thing is Charlie's getting healthy. He's been with the team. No setbacks, none of that. And Max's blister held up. So, I mean, you're shaping up. You can see it. If they can get past this, you could have three good starters for the LCS. Three good starters with this lineup in a best of seven. We talked about this. I felt going into this series, the winner of this series, I think, is going to win the World Series. And I have not changed my mind on that at all. Oh, if anything, 100%. I feel stronger about it because the Dodgers were the only team I thought had a chance.
Yeah. And the Astros are looking good, but they don't have that dominant pitching they've had in the past.
No. The Rangers are the shocking team.
Yeah.
Shocking. I mean, Bruce Bochy, cap tip to him, man, because he's got these guys playing. They haven't had to go heavy on the bullpen yet, but still, they're hitting. Walking Seager five times. I don't know about that, man.
That's hard to do, too, because he swings early.
Yeah. O's surprised me, but I shouldn't have been because it's their first time there. You know, I think they're building. They're young still, you know, and the Rangers came in much more experienced. But that did surprise me. But, yeah, I think these two teams are the best two teams in the tournament right here.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. These are going to be good games here. Here in Philly, the next two nights. It's going to be loud.
Yeah.
And they won't have to face Wheeler until a game five.
Be nice to just knock it out and not have to do that. But
man, that dude's good, man. He's so much better than when he was with the Mets because he was always hurt with the Mets.
He's always hurt.
Yeah. God, he's good. Man, he's good.
I think he's the closest to DeGrom there is out there right now. Him as far as like the height, the extension.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, as far... Not just dominance, but just like the right. package, the delivery, the extension, the arm angle, the fastball, the breaking ball. His breaking ball is different than DeGrom's, but just that fastball from a tall pitcher that gets a shit ton of extension with that ride on it.
I mean, 6'4", he's got that presence out there. Big dude, got the beard. He changed his slider. He used to throw more conventional slider. Throws that sweeper now, and it's more effective for him, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when you're throwing 99, man. All right. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it. And we'll do it again after these two games here in Philly. Yeah, somebody said buy earplugs. I think I will go get some, man.
No, he's talking to somebody else saying we had a little too much foul language. I think I might go get some.
I think I need to go. I did bring a jacket, though, for sure, because this is an open-air press box. It's going to get a little chilly, I think.
I can't wait.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Talk to y'all later. Yeah.